Welcome back to Beyond the Stables, the podcast that sheds the light on the new generation of top-level show jumpers. For today's episode, we didn't travel too far, as we were recording from Oliva Nova in Spain. Today, we're with none other than Sky Mosenkopf, a young show jumper making her way to the top of the sport. At only 22 years old, Sky has already delivered a clear round in a Senior Nations Cup for the Netherlands, won the under-25 class in the prestigious Aachen Arena, and is the individual bronze medalist of the last Young Riders Championship. Sky's approach to her career is a fascinating blend of self-direction and strategic collaboration with the top minds in the sport. Today, she'll share her story, shedding light on how she navigates the complexities of the equestrian world, turning challenges into stepping stones towards success. What sets Sky apart is not just her talent, but her hands-on approach to every aspect of her career, from performing in Nations Cups and Championships to driving her horses herself across the continent. Stay with us to discover Sky's journey filled with personal anecdotes of a young rider reaching for the top. We apologize if at times the audio suffers from background noises. It was a bit difficult to find a quiet place away from the wind and crowds amidst all the action here at the Met.
They jump the last, they're clear. That's a great start. That is an absolutely superb round.
Today we're joined with Sky Mosenkopf, Dutch junior champion in 2020 and individual bronze medalist at the Europeans in 2023. She has also won the prestigious Net Aachen under 25, and currently she's in Oliva Nova and has had a great start to the year here so far. Sky, we always like to kick off our podcast with the same question. If your horse could talk, what do you think they would say about you?
About me? Ooh, that I'm probably too motivated. I have to leave them alone every now and then because I want to work and work and work. I think my horses are really like my best friends, so I hope they say positive things about me.
Can you start by telling us a bit about yourself and your journey in the world of show jumping? If we understood correctly, it's a bit of a family sport.
Yeah, that's correct. My whole family is into horses anyway. We all kind of competed in the show jumping world. Now, like, some of my cousins went studying or are living abroad, but in the end, the horses are in our hearts. That's for sure, yeah. And for me, yeah, I started riding when I was really young because, like I said, like, we were always like loving horses. That's how it started. It was just ponies, and then we like kind of moved up and started jumping more and more. And
is it nice to be able to share this passion with your family? Do you ever run into them at shows?
Well, now less and less, because like more of my cousins are starting to have their own lives or start to work or study, like I said. But there was a point that we were with 9 cousins at the show, you know, and that was really cool though. Times, yeah, for sure.
So your cousins have chosen to go and study, but how about you? When did you decide to do it professionally instead of just going and study?
So I finished high school really young. So I wanted to take one gap year, also because it was Corona. So I didn't want to start studying with Corona times. So I went to train with Dara Kenny. It was supposed to be for like just summer and then gap year and go to uni. But I never kind of left Dara. I stayed there for I think like 2 years and I got super motivated. So it was either go back to study or find a job in the horses. So I found a job in the horses. From there, we're now sitting here.
And do you still train with Dara Kenny?
Not anymore, because I started working for this stable. So I moved over there. But then last year at the Europeans, like that year following up, his mother trained me and she was there with me also at the European Championship. She's like my everything, kind of. She helps me with mostly everything in the horses, and I can call her anytime. And even if she's not there, we always communicate about everything.
And is she here with you now?
No. Like mostly on the big shows, she will come with me. Also now because I'm starting to work for someone else and I know him since a long time also. He used to help me when I was at Dara also. So he's been helping me a bit here.
And how was the transition from, so I guess, having your own horses and your own kind of training setup to now working for someone and riding their horses?
So at my previous job, it was like you have to get used to different kind of pressure, 100%. But it was also something I could really learn from, because yeah, you have to ride horses with a different vision, with a different goal, like you want to sell them or whatever. So that for me was like I learned a lot from that. And now at this job where I am now, we already had the same system a little bit, because he used to train me when I was younger at Dara. So we just picked it up like that again, and for me, I didn't have to change much.
That's really good. I guess it's also easier for you to have the transition go a bit like
bad.
Yeah, exactly. We know each other already, so we just picked it up here again, and it works very well, and we've had great results so far. So.
And also, how do you stay motivated in such a demanding sport? Like, how do you keep going?
I think every time it goes not how I want, I just want more. Like, I strive for perfection, and I know it's impossible, but I always want to be better, and every round, even though I may have won the round, like, I watch it, and I see things I want to make better. So I think it's just like a passion I have for the horses and for the sport that I just keep being motivated.
And do you think motivation is key to be in the sport? Because I mean, it is quite a special sport. You don't have that many days off, if I'm not wrong. It's an everyday thing. It's hard to take a day off.
Yeah. Like, you have to be every morning in the stable 8 a.m. or earlier and keep going. And sometimes you're wondering what you're doing it for, but then you have this one win and then you realize what you're doing it for, and that's what you do it for, 100%.
All the bad days end up outweighing that one victory.
100%.
So to succeed in this sport, we know that you need a very strong work ethic, as you've mentioned. Can you share with us a bit about your training routine? Like, what are the key steps to preparing for a championship like the Europeans, or even for preparing a tour like this one?
Well, basically for a tour, I don't think I prepare so much, because the tour I probably would use to get going for the season, like that's why I'm here. But like, my daily routine would be I start riding in the early morning and all day, 6 days a week, if not seven. And yeah, on the championships, like, it depends really what kind of horse you have, what they need. So last year I made a very, well, in the end turned out to be a good plan for my mare, and we just tried to keep her really confident and fresh for the Europeans, and that turned out well. But obviously it depends what kind of horse you have.
So can you elaborate also, I think, as we mentioned before, there's a lot of bad days in the sport and a few good ones. Can you tell us a bit about some of the challenges you've faced, how you've overcome them, and how they helped you grow as a rider?
The biggest challenge I face probably is my self-confidence. I can really, really start doubt. If I believe in myself, I can conquer the world, you know? Then I'm flying. But when I start doubting myself, I can get very insecure about my riding. So that's one thing I've been really working on, like with mental training. But also just like to get the right team of people around me, like to have a positive atmosphere around me. That's one thing for me that is very important and that I learned in the past couple years. Where I've been in maybe less positive atmospheres, and that for me, it just doesn't work. So I think for me, the most important thing is like a good team around you with people that you trust and people that give you that last bit of confidence.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that now also we're talking a lot more about the mental aspect to horse riding and especially show jumping, and how important it is to kind of take care of yourself mentally and be able to enter the ring mentally prepared for what you're about to do, no distractions, and just be fully focused. Yeah. And what do you think is key to, I mean, finding the right team must be very, very, very difficult. I guess it's not a perfect recipe, but what are the steps to finding a good team, to knowing what works for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, for sure, the first step is a groom that you trust. I have a very good relationship with my groom. I trust her 100% with my horse, and she did like a great job with my horse, like with my mare. For example, for the Europeans, she was in top shape, and I also can communicate with her really well to find out like what her opinion is. And so I think a groom that you trust and can work together with is very, very important. And for the rest, it's just to collect the right people around you. It's you have to fuck up a couple of times, but if you find the right people, then stay there, you know, and trust them, and it's the most important thing.
Can you develop a bit more about the role of the groom, and also do you think that grooms are enough in the spotlight for what they do? Or this could be improved, or what are their place?
I think 100% they're not enough in the spotlight, that's for sure. Because I think like the groom has to be the safe place of the horse. And I feel like the groom, besides the rider, knows the horse the best. So that's why I also say like I talk with my groom a lot, and we have big discussions sometimes, like we can argue. But she wants the best for the horse in the end, and that's her main job, that she wants the best for the horse. So if she then doesn't agree with me with something, she can tell me, because in the end she always wants the best for the horse. I think the job of the groom is very underrated, and I think grooms can definitely have a little bit more appreciation, 100%.
Yeah, it's a tough job, and it's every day. I mean, also the traveling, they're traveling with a lot of money's worth of horses.
Yeah, well, the traveling I do myself. I drive the truck usually myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's that like?
Well, at first I thought it was really cool. Now I sometimes regret getting the license, but I mean, it gives you freedom. in a way. And I mean, I can go wherever I want, so it's cool. But I can, like, driving to Spain, sometimes it's long enough, yeah.
How many hours did you drive to make it here?
You do 3 days, 2 stopovers. Yeah, it's long enough.
And isn't it, I mean, because you're coming here as a rider, isn't the 3 days of travel and then arriving here very tiring?
100%, yeah. I did it to the Europeans in Gorla. Okay, it's a little bit less long, but still long enough. And now, knowing how I felt when I arrived, I wouldn't do that again to a big show, unless maybe if I drive with someone together. But I arrived at Europeans already pretty tired. Okay, for a tour like this, it doesn't really matter. Like, you have a couple of days to sleep, but it is, yeah, it is a bit tiring.
And you're mentioning traveling alone, so do you drive the truck alone with no one else with you?
Yeah, my groom's with me, but she doesn't have the license, so okay. I drive.
So that's really cool that you guys share a bit the responsibilities.
Yeah. I drive and she checks the horses. And
and how do you plan the trip, like the stops?
There's a lot of organization goes into planning a tour like this, because you've been here for several weeks, no?
I've been here for 3 weeks. No, you just, like, you know after a while where the stopovers are and you have your contacts and stuff. So yeah, from like the start, I just see like how far do I drive? Do I think I can do it in one stop or two stops? Maybe if I have some young horses, they've never traveled long before, you also have to take that into consideration. And then, yeah, I booked the stopovers. And
how many horses did you come with?
Right now, I'm riding 4 for myself, and about, it's different every week, but I think I ride like 8 a week.
And how do you stay motivated, but also, let's say, fit? Because it's a long tour, it's a lot of horses, it's a lot of competition, so you have mental pressure, physical pressure. How do you make it to the end of the tour?
I have to say, when you have like 8 or 9 every week, it can get quite busy. So I try to get a lot of sleep for sure. I try to eat well, but I mean, some days here you get very tired, 100%, yeah. But I anyway try to work also on my own health and my own physique, and at home I try to work out a lot and stay fit myself, you know.
Yeah, we've noticed that something that's, especially with the young riders, a bit more, let's say, in is the whole physical aspect aside from the riding. So how important would you say it is? And also, you ride several horses a day, that's already tiring, and then having to kind of pull yourself to the gym aside from that, how do you do it? And do you really notice a difference in the saddle by doing so?
Yeah, well, sometimes I have to say it's very tough to get off the sofa and go to the gym. But then, you know, I always have the bigger goal in my head from where I want to be in however many years, so then it's very easy to get up in the end. And I think you have to be different some way. So, like, a lot of people want to make it in the sport, so how am I going to be that person that's going to make it? So then I make it, you know, I go to the gym, I make myself do balance training, do mental training, like do brain games. I try to in every way maybe be better than someone else, and maybe in that way I can make it in the end.
That's a really interesting perspective to see it. Would you say that it's very competitive now between the young riders to make it to the top?
Not competitive, but there's a lot of people that can do it, you know. And okay, in the end you need the right resources, you need the right team around you, but there is a lot of people that, there's a lot of talented riders right now that want to make it to the top. So there is some way you have to be different.
You definitely are one of those riders who made it to the top, because you jumped your first senior nation cup at the age of 19 and you went clear. That's such an achievement. After doing the young riders, do you feel now that you're ready to tackle the top level?
100% I feel ready, but I'm just trying to like find the right team of horses also now, you know. I sold one of my good horses end of the year last year, so I have like one for the bigger classes and some young ones. So for me, it's now about getting the right team of horses, and then 100% I'm gonna attack the the seniors.
And was it easier to enter this senior level having won medal as a young rider?
I don't know, like obviously the young rider championships, it's big enough, but like when you jump your last young riders and you're then out of young riders, you do think like, okay, what am I gonna do now? Like, I'm not a young rider anymore. So basically you're the best and then you're a nobody anymore. So yeah, it was a bit of a step actually, that you're like, oh, you realize, okay, what am I gonna do now? So that's why I'm just taking my time, trying to rebuild with some good young ones, trying to find some nice horses and build up again. And at some point I'll be back.
Yeah, because it's also something we've seen a lot, is that when riders first they ride kind of for themselves, their own horses, and then when they make it a bit more professionally, you kind of have to give up in part your string of horses or sell them, because in the end it is an expensive sport. You have to keep it going somehow. So what's it like having to basically sell your top horses, maybe only keep one, and then you have these young horses? Do you train the young horses up in the hope that they'll be your Grand Prix horses, or do you have to sell them in order to then buy yourself a new Grand Prix horse?
It's hard because now I have some young ones and you have the opportunity to sell them, and then you have to make the decision, like, am I gonna keep them or do I sell them? In the end, you have to make money also. Like, I have to make my business, but I also have to want to do the sport. So it's hard to find the balance between business and sport, and I'm just starting, you know, and just starting to find my way around with the big guy. So yeah, I'm just trying to find the balance there.
And how do you, because I feel like it's a bit, you have to figure it out for yourselves. I mean, for example, we're at university, so let's say we're having a 4-year course training to enter the professional world, but you guys are a bit thrown into it. Yeah. I mean, you did Europeans, but then, you know, it's this whole new world. You have to navigate it by yourself, or does anyone help you, or how does it work?
Well, obviously I was working for a stable at that point, and then I left. I was gonna start on my own, but I really soon already felt that I wasn't ready. I wanted more guidance. And still, I'm young. So I think with the job I am gonna start now, that I still get the freedom, but I still have this person that's gonna help me and guide me. And whenever I doubt something or have a question, that I can fall back on that, and we can work together, you know. So for me, that was the right step to take, so that I can find more connections, maybe find owners, maybe some horses. So yeah.
You mentioned owners. How easy is it as a young rider to find owners that will trust their horses with you? Is it all through networks?
It's hard. That's why I'm just trying to build a bit of a network now. But 100% it's hard, because like, they can give their horses to whoever. There are so many good riders. Why would they give it to me, you know? So yeah, it's 100% it's difficult.
Do you usually go to them or they come to you?
Well, that's something I am gonna have to do, is to maybe step up to people, because I'm quite shy in that way. So I wouldn't say I would go to them, no.
And away from the arena, do you have any hobbies? And is it difficult to have a social life or a balance in that sense?
It is hard to have a social life. Like, here on the tours it's nice because you're anyway with your friends, but for the rest I have to say I don't think I have much of a social life. And my hobbies, yeah, I think my hobby is horses. I started horses as my hobby. So I love to cook. I love to be like focused on my health. So I love to work out, to cook, to think what's good for my body. I'm very interested in nutrition in that way. And so if I have to name one hobby, that would probably be it.
So going back a bit to horses, can you tell us a bit about your main horse, G. Vingino Blue? You've had him for several years now. Tell us a bit about your partnership. How was it for, and was it an instant click?
It was definitely not an instant click. I remember when I first got her, I had no idea what to do with her, because she's like the definition of a mare. You cannot enter her in her stable. You cannot touch her. She will just bite you or kick you. Or she's actually really not a nice horse to be around. But at some point we found this connection, and in the ring she is the biggest fighter there is. Maybe she's not the scopiest horse or the nicest technique or whatever, but I can put her in any position, she will always try. And the bond that I have with her, it's, for me, it's indescribable. And this one horse that I would never be able to sell, like, she's like my child. She means so much to me. It makes me nearly emotional.
Like, I feel like every rider always has, you always have that one horse where it just ends up clicking, and you know that they'll give everything for you out in the arena.
Yeah. And like, that's why for me that medal last year was so special, because it was just like, for me it was just a confirmation that I could do it and that she could do it. And it was something, just after all the hard work for so many years, to end my career of young riders like that, like, it was a bronze medal with a golden touch, you know. It was,
I guess there must be no better feeling now than leaving your last year of young riders with a medal. Yeah.
Especially because it was very unexpected, because I mean, she's an amazing horse, but for her, a young rider Europeans, it was tough enough, it was big enough, and in the heat and jumping so many rounds, for me it was so unexpected. So yeah, it's one of the 100% like very special moment in my career.
And going back to what you mentioned about the heat, one thing that we have noticed, that especially in the summer, the big Grand Prix are placed always kind of at peak sun hour. Why do you think they do this, and do you think that the riders should say something to have this change? Because I mean, it affects your performance, it affects the horse's performance, and I mean, you all look amazing in the competition clothing, but it's not exactly cool under there.
No, especially not when you have the air vest on and the jacket. I think it's placed at that time because then there's probably the most people watching. And so if you're gonna have a big Grand Prix somewhere at 8 a.m. in the morning, I don't think, and everyone's gonna come and watch. So that's probably why they do it. But it is true that some conditions, like when it's 35 degrees and full sun, it might not be the best condition to jump in, no.
And do the horses feel it? Do you feel that it affects the horse's performance?
I don't know, it depends. If you have maybe a very bloody horse, then no, but you just have to manage it well, like make sure they get their electrolytes, make sure they drink well, give them some shade, like you have to manage it well, and then I think they are fine.
And in the sport in general, do you have any role model or people you look up to that shapes your approach to the sport?
Obviously, one of my role models would be Dara. That's why I started training with him. I think he's one of the best riders there is. And then I try to like kind of take something from every rider, because everyone like has a different system, and I don't really know what my system is, but I just try to watch and understand what all these riders are doing. Like all these big riders, they do something different, but it works. So I try to take something good from everyone and make it my system somehow.
If we look at the top level riders, it's mostly men. What do you think is the place of women in the sport, and why don't we see more women at the top?
I think we need more women on the top, 100%. And I think there are some really good female riders upcoming. Why there are so many men at the top, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to give you the answer. But for sure, I think like there is a good group of female riders upcoming, for sure.
I feel like in the young riders now, we're seeing a lot more women, and you're all the same. You're very, in the sense that you're very determined, motivated, organized, and you really give it your all.
Yeah, but like you need that motivation. Like you need to be able to say no to a lot of things, and like maybe you cannot join this one party or cannot go with your friends, but for me, it's all for the bigger purpose. So in the end, when you do end up winning, then it makes sense, you know?
And is it tough to have to say no to all these, let's call them social events, maybe even family gatherings, just to focus solely on the sport and the horses?
For me, not really, because I'm used to it. I think I can better communicate with my horses than most people probably. So for me, but I'm sure for some people it might be difficult, but yeah. I don't know, it's just in my heart, so it's very easy to say no for me.
And you mentioned you started looking at this a bit more professionally during COVID. How was that? Because that must have been very difficult, because the shows were limited, and on top of that, there was no crowd. So was it a bit difficult or a weird start into the senior level?
What for me made the difference is that at some point there were no shows. So I was stuck at home with Dara, and we trained so much. And I started feeling like I was a complete amateur when I got there, and I started feeling like the difference that he would make with the horses, or something he would tell me, and I would feel so much difference, and then things got so much better. So actually I was really lucky that actually with Corona we were kind of locked up there, and all we could do was train. And so I think I was really lucky that I actually got to spend so much time with him and learn so much from him then, because obviously he has a 5-star show every week also.
Yeah, that's a difficult life also to manage. 5-star shows, it's even more pressure. But I guess it's something you look forward to and do prep, no?
For me, it can come tomorrow. Like, if I have the horses, I want to go, you know? Like, yeah. 100%.
So Dara is currently, and he goes over a lot to the States, to Wellington. Is that something you would envision in the future? What do you think is kind of the advantage for younger riders to go abroad?
Well, I think Wellington, I would love to have a taste of it once. I've never been there. And I think either you love it or you hate it. So I'm going to go there, and I can tell you after if I love it or if I hate it. But for sure, I think for young riders, it's good to go abroad or to another stable or whatever, just to get different systems or learn from other people.
Because currently you're training with Dara's mother now, no? Or at the stables where you're working?
Yeah, now with where I'm working. But I mean, I still call her every day, so.
And looking ahead, what are your long-term goals in the world of show jumping? And are there specific competition or achievement that you aspire to in the coming years?
Well, it's probably the most basic answer, but I really want to jump at some example, in the Olympics. But I mean, first things first, so I want to jump my first five star. And one show that for me is super special is Aachen, because I got to experience the feeling of Aachen when I jumped the under 25 there, and it's just, it's unreal. I remember the first day because I'm always like a pretty quick rider. Sometimes I have to take my time a bit more. And the first day, I was so slow, and I came out and there I was like, why are you riding so slow? And I was like, I don't know, I was just enjoying myself. Like, it was just the feeling in that ring is just amazing. And then the other day I won, and oh, it's amazing. So if there's one show I would love to jump, it's Aachen 5-star, 100%.
And how difficult is it to enter this 5-star world? Because currently you're competing at the 4-star level, correct?
Yeah, like 3-star, yeah.
Do you have to then, for the 5-stars you definitely have to qualify, and for the 4-stars I guess as well, but how difficult is it to kind of like bridge this gap? Because the starter lists get smaller, the competition gets tougher. How do you do it?
I think right now I am not trying because I don't have the horses right now for that level. But once I have the horses, I think also like the chef they keep, they will see it, the people will see it, so then you will get in those shows. But for sure, like now, if I can take my good mare and maybe some other horses, I can jump some 3-star Nations Cup, like the EF series, and there also you get seen, you know. So I think that's a good step to have in between the gap from youth to the 5-star level. Those 3-star Nations Cups are really, really nice.
Have you jumped any 3-stars?
Yeah. I did that when I was 19. I did the one in Vigeur. I remember I went with a very, very good team, and I was so nervous because I was like, oh, I'm gonna fuck it up for them, you know. And then I was the only clear, so it's quite funny. So yeah, I've jumped some of those, but always my main focus had been European. So if I had to say no to a Nations Cup like that because I want to save my horse, I always did, and it turned out well. But this year I don't have that, so I'm definitely gonna go and try and jump some of those Nations Cups, yeah.
And for Nations Cups, you usually see riders, let's say, with the same horses that they use for Nations Cups. So do like top level riders usually have one Grand Prix horse and one Nations Cup horse, or how do you kind of like allot the horse depending on what you're going to do, if that makes sense?
I know, yeah, it makes sense, but right now I don't have that luxury because I have only one horse at this point for the bigger classes. But if you have that luxury, then probably you would take a little bit, maybe the bit slower horses, but the clear round jumpers for a Nations Cup.
And what's it like being on a team with, I guess, your idols and people you look up to, representing your country? Do you feel the extra pressure when you're the youngest one there?
I think not, because, well, from what I have experienced, they try to help you and like they try to motivate you, and you learn from them, you know. You get to ride with those guys and then you can pick up something from everyone, and you can walk the course with them and see how they do things. So I don't think, for me, it's not extra pressure. For me, it's just like, oh, a learning curve then.
And that's one thing we've also realized also through different interviews is that the show jumping world is very supportive, in the sense that you're competing against each other, but in the end you all seem to help each other out. If one person has a question, the other one answers. Is it something you feel like, especially in a tour like this where it's, I guess, the same people for several weeks?
Yeah, 100%. Like, maybe when you're younger a bit, there's more competition in between each other, but when you get older, everyone knows you're as good as your last round. One day one person's gonna win, one day the other person's gonna win. There's low and highs, like everyone knows what it's like, so everyone, I feel like, just wants the best for each other. I mean, most people, probably not everyone.
Would you have any advice for a young rider that would want to be at your level right now?
Yeah, work hard and find the right people around you, and don't give up. Like, you're gonna have a lot of lows, but without the lows, there's no highs.
And if you had to say like one crucial thing you need to make it to the top of the sport, what would you say that is?
Motivation, 100%.
And do you ever see it in riders that, let's say really good riders, but that just lose motivation and leave the sport, or does generally everyone power through?
No, 100% that happens, 100%.
Like burnouts and everything?
Yeah, or just like that they don't have that last bit of motivation. Like, there's so many, a lot of talented riders that just don't have that last bit of motivation, and then they don't get to that top. Like, you need to be able to get up every morning again and ride again and keep going.
But in the end, it's a bit it sounds weird, but it ends up being the life you aspire to have, being able to ride all those top horses, yeah. Spend the day with them. But I guess the motivation is what really then in the end distinguishes the top riders from the good riders.
Yeah. 100%. But also, like, it's very easy to stay motivated when you're doing well and when you're winning show after show, but there's gonna be times that doesn't happen, and then you have to trust the process and stay motivated and keep working until it goes well again.
And how do you do that, especially in those seasons where everything just seems to be against you, nothing's working out? How do you push yourself? Like, do you have to reevaluate everything you've been doing or just keep going?
I would reevaluate, but I think with me, like, when it doesn't go well, I can nearly over push myself. Like, I get, sometimes I need to give myself a break. Like, I need to tell myself, like, go on vacation or don't ride a horse for a week. And then it actually goes better again. But I can give myself too much pressure then, actually. Like, I don't have the problem that my motivation goes away.
Do you actually have time to go on vacation with all the horses?
No, never. Never. I actually went for Christmas, I went skiing because I had such a long season and I felt like I needed a break. And that was the best thing I could have done because I came back and the horses were happy because they didn't see me for a week and they were just in the field. And I had a little break and my head was clear and I had a good, like, I rested and fresh start, and was the best thing I could have done. So I learned from that sometimes you need to take a break.
Sky, thank you so much for your time. We don't want to take more time with you. And thank you for this insightful conversation, and we wish you the best of luck for the rest of the weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Stables. We hope that you enjoyed this moment with Sky and learn more on how it feels like working to reach the top of the sport and what tools you actually need. Make sure to follow Sky on Instagram to be part of her journey to the highest level. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us and subscribe to stay updated on our latest releases. Your support is important as it helps us continue to bring you inspiring stories from the world of short jumping. See you next week for our next episode.
The jump of the last, they're clear. That's a great start. That is an absolutely superb round.